Hey gang, just me for now. We decided that because things are late in Legion, we didn't get the Grievous bike or the clone marksman full info yet, so couldn't talk about that. There's some meta stuff we could talk about, but it's about to be an irrelevant meta. And then, of course, we have the mini Strav stuff coming up, but it's a little bit early to be doing like sort of a full preview from our side for that. So we decided that this would be a good week to give Mike the week off, and for me, just doing some cleanup on something that I had a lot of fun doing, which was something I made with my brother Gregory, which is ranking all the Star Wars games. And so this is part one, which we did and released back in July. We recorded part two a little bit later, and that just went up on our Patreon page. So it is available there for people that absolutely can't wait for super informed opinions. But this is part one. There's no video of my brother or I on this because this was recorded on our prior software, and also that I was still learning how to do this back when we recorded this. So apologies for that. And so for those listening on the podcast, you can check out the video if you want to see us, like sort of the screen share of me moving things to the like to the tier list maker thing. Then you can certainly do that. But I think that it's also good on audio too, just to hear us talking about these games that we grew up with. Had a really fantastic time. I think my brother Greg is a natural. And so I think that we'll probably be doing more in the future, just like me roping him in to do it. But we both had fun, and I hope you guys enjoy it. We really appreciate everybody being the Patreon or just doing the like and subscribe thing to help us out with the silly algorithmic stuff that we have to chase in order to do what we really want to do, which is just to get people to see this and enjoy it. And when we're talking about something with Legion that or Shatterpoint that they can actually learn from it, and when we're talking about nonsense like this, that you can have fun. I will be releasing part two for free later this year, close to the holidays, probably along with the Star Wars ranking that we did with me, Mike, Jay Schalansky, and Evan Bullaris. It was an epic 3-hour session that I'm probably going to split up into two videos. I really can't wait for a larger group to sort of see what we thought about that. But for now, here is my brother and I ranking the Star Wars games, part one. Part two is live on Patreon, but again, it'll be released for everybody later, probably early December, if you want to wait. But in any case, we really appreciate everybody just watching and enjoying what we do. So enjoy. Hello and welcome. Gregory, oh my gosh, this
Hey,
is can't start already.
everybody.
Well, I'm here, Evan Paul. I'm here with Gregory slash
I'm
Greg
Gregory Paul.
Paul.
Hey.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, my name is Greg Paul. I'm Dr. Evan Paul's little brother and a kind of offshoot member of the Sons of Akbar and a huge fan of Fifth Trooper.
Oh yeah, thank you. I was actually about to cut you off, but then you said the huge fan of the Fifth Trooper part, and I decided to let you finish. Yeah, so this is Patreon content. If you're seeing it on YouTube, it means that I have released the hounds for some reason, or maybe I'm doing a preview. Who knows? Here's the backstory, Greg. We at Fifth Trooper, the first like patron-only video that we did was a ranking of like the Star Wars films and TV shows, and we had a good time. There's some controversy, Greg. What you have not seen the video. What do you think ended up at the top? I'm
Man,
curious.
I really hope it's the Ewok Adventures.
We stayed away from canon, from non-canon, I
No,
should say. Aside from Visions, we ranked Visions, but that was
that's
it.
like movies and TV shows. I would say hopefully either the obvious Empire Strikes Back or Andor would be my guesses. But the Obi-Wan series did have a T-Rex, so that should be up
Yes,
there.
we're two of the five people in the world who, like, when a T-Rex showed up on the Obi-Wan show, we were just like, "Look
Just in.
at
This is my kind of Star Wars
There's a
finally.
T-Rex on there. He's shooting at Obi-Wan from across the rooftops." Yeah,
Like my dream.
The T-Rex and Obi-Wan was not enough to push it to the top. It was actually it ended up in sort of our D tier, at least at Star Wars. The top was actually Return of the Jedi. There was a lot of sentiment from two members of our four person group to really push that up there. And, it's maybe the most
Sure.
watchable.
Appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people kind of harsh on it for some
It's
reason.
got something for everybody.
Yeah, it's got a little bit for everybody. And then yeah,
It's
Andor
got
was our number
Ewoks.
two. It's got Ewoks,
Nice.
and Ewoks
Yeah,
are
it's like the
they're not
opposite of T-Rex, so if you incorrectly rated that poorly, that makes sense.
Yeah, Ewoks are the opposite of T-Rex, exactly.
Learned about that in Going in Frontier.
Yeah, don't
Okay.
spoil it. We're gonna get there. We're going to do the same thing for Star Wars games. Now, there have been a lot more Star Wars games than Star Wars movies and TV shows, so this may end up being a two-parter. We'll see.
Doesn't feel like it these days.
These days it's the opposite. It's kind of wacky. We're actually, I think, like when we get to the end, we'll talk about the future of Star Wars games, and we'll talk about how sparse it sort of looks in
Yeah.
comparison to ironically the time period between like the prequels and the sequel coming out
Yeah.
like
There's a
16
huge
years later.
shift.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
So yeah, we will get to that. But I had this idea of doing the games, and so I talked to other people of Fifth Trooper, and I was like, okay, I put this Excel file together, the one that we're going to use. We've added to it Muchos to talk about, like, these are the games we want to talk about. And everybody on there was like, I've played six of these games. I was just like, oh, so you're a bunch of filthy casuals, you say.
You're right.
I
Yeah,
know
no, that.
someone who's played actually like a couple more games than I've played as far as Star Wars video games. That
Yeah,
was
I'm around three quarters of these. They're a
yeah.
lot.
And a lot of these we played together when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah. That really
And
formed into who we are today.
yeah, I mean these are like at least 30% of the basis of our current personality. As much as our spouses may sort of bemoan that. I am curious, does your wife know that you're doing this?
No, she's actually post nights, so she's day sleeping after working all night in the hospital. So, as the real hero, I've just
Yeah.
taken this time to hide myself in the corner and talk about Star Wars games.
All right, well,
And she'll learn after the
good on you. When she becomes a patron, she'll get to see it. It's like, hey, honey, do you want to see this video I made with Evan? Well,
fact.
you'll have to join the Patreon.
I
My
might
wife
subscribe,
does.
but.
My wife is aware. She said, "You have fun, dear." And so that is what we're gonna do. We're just gonna.
So your wife is in the masterpiece tier, and mine's at least at
Greg,
Star Wars.
Greg, Greg. Both of our wives are in the masterpiece tier. Like,
That's true.
that is just a fact. They are both doctors. They are both very smart, successful people, and they are both married to
Riot
people.
Control Squad
They're
members.
married to Riot Control Squad tier dudes. We're just hanging out. Okay,
Yep.
let's get started. We have five tiers again. This is the same tiers that we use for the films and TV shows. We have Masterpiece, Classic, Good Star Wars, Elitist Star Wars, and Riot Control Squad. Greg, are you aware of the Riot Control Squad and why it's our lowest tier?
No, I actually haven't been too into Legion since the changes, but I've been aware enough that they are the new hot mess that no one likes.
Greg, if you had stormtroopers with two extra minis and you took away surge except for in melee, then you made the melee dice black, but you also get two red. So like you're rolling deca dice in melee, you have charge, but you still have courage one. How much would you pay for that? Legion points.
Do they get to turn their body cams off? Okay.
Okay, well,
Yeah,
we're already in the after
I
dark zone. We're just
figured
gonna move on. I was really not expecting that. Okay. Anyway, Greg, that is 80 points.
that out of 1,000.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to what we were going to get to here. So you have a randomized list of Star Wars games. Now, we're going to run across a few games that some folks, if they're casuals, are going to go like, huh? That's not a Star Wars game. But don't worry, we will explain to you once we get there. And then I will say that for any who are looking at like the bottom of the screen on Tier List Maker, we ain't gonna rank all of these. There are a lot of like there's some vector graphics games up here that even I'm too young to really know about. And then there's like a
One of
bunch
them
of
teaches you math.
we're not gonna do Star Wars math. We are gonna do one educational Star Wars game that we're gonna get to. We also have like a bunch of Game Boy games that we never played, and it's sort of like whatever. But so this is mostly gonna be console and PC games. And then there's actually a pinball on there too, which I put in there just because of how incredibly awesome and important it is. So let's just get started. What do you have first on our randomized list, Greg?
First, we have one of my favorites, Star Wars Bounty Hunter.
Believe me, this was a randomized list, but this is like one of your favorite games.
Yeah, I think I remember most about this you and I playing, and the just me repeating the Jango Fett quote of "I'm just a simple fan trying to make his way in the universe."
That's right.
Yes, while you're mowing down the Saj Ventress.
It wasn't her though. It was somebody who looked a lot like her named Kamari
Oh,
Vosa, I
cool.
think, if I
Yeah, but
remember right. But she
otherwise
also,
double-bladed.
right,
Yeah.
yeah, she also had double curved lightsabers. I think there might be a history there. Like Asajj may have been inspired by Kamari Vosa. I have no idea, to be honest with you. But yeah, it was different. And then you do also kill her in the game. That's basically like the object of the game. The end game, I should say, is that Count Dooku's like, hey, my former apprentice went off the rails and I need you, Jango Fett, to go kill her. And it's basically the story of how much he impressed Count Dooku and thereby inspired him being like the basis of clones. But yeah, like what else do you remember about this game?
Like as a game back then, it like blew my mind with like two auto targeting dual pistols. Like he
Yeah.
really felt like him. He got the dart from the movie, and it was just like really cool. In my head, it looked as good as the movies, but I'm sure it's just like a triangle with a
It
jetpack.
didn't
But
look bad. It was one of the few games that were not embarrassing enough to like get re-released in their basically original format.
yeah.
Like rezzed up slightly, but nothing else was done to them. But they got like you can play these on a PlayStation 4, like this and a few other games that were
Yeah.
PS2 releases originally. So yeah, where would you put this?
Oh, this has got to be a masterpiece. Like right off the bat, hitting it hard. It's you got to be Boba
Right.
Fett
No, you're
first
Jango
off.
Fett, first of all.
Right. But for me, that was like cool. I don't know. I was like so young that it was,
The this is already like a very Paul Brothers tier list right off the bat.
Yeah.
Bounty Hunter, it's okay. It's a pretty good game. But maybe if we end up with too many in the masterpiece tier, I'll
Yeah,
maybe
that will be my
cut it off a
problem.
little bit.
But yeah, this was huge. Like, because really, again, the quote of being the simple man, there was like the advertisement of like, you are Jango Fett, the most
Yeah.
ruthless bounty hunter the galaxy's ever seen. Like, nah, I'm just a guy. I'm just doing my best. And that really resonated with me.
Do you remember like was Temuera Morrison voice acting for this game?
I think he
I don't
might
I
have been.
actually don't remember. I don't think he did.
Is someone like really close? Was it who did the clones in the cartoons?
I don't know. I mean yeah, maybe you can look that up while I start talking about the next game and then we can
Yeah,
go
that
back to
sounds
that.
good.
So yeah, what is our next game?
Our next game is Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds, the 2001 game of Windows and Mac.
Yeah, so Galactic Battlegrounds was the second RTS. It was sort of like in the middle of Force Commander and Empire at War. But it was also like an Age of Empires clone,
Yeah.
and it had, I believe, like all four factions in the Legion sense that it had, Rebel Empire, Separatists, and Republic. And they all played very differently. I think this game was actually like a lot of fun, even though I think that there were some balance issues, if I remember right. This is one of many games that we like played like LAN against each other. And
Yeah.
if I remember right, you would play Separatist a lot. And they had some kind of garbage where you could like recruit the creatures that were in the arena fight. And
Yeah.
you would basically just like send them at my workers and they would just like obliterate all the workers.
Go get
And then I would be like, ah, oh, my economy. And it's
Speaking of the economy, I watched a Let's Play on this, and apparently the droids still cost food to create like normal workers. And in the game manual, it says that the food is used to feed the Ugnaught workers that are building them.
that's really messed up.
But it's still like back in the day of game manuals and them like explaining why these silly systems like you need meat to make a droid. And then it's still been like really heavily community supported. Like there's a mod now that has Resistance and First Order and like 15 factions now. Apparently it's like still enjoyed.
Hey, 15 fashions. Jeez.
Yeah,
That's
man. Black Sun and the dots.
where would you put this? I feel like I'm kind of in the good Star Wars zone.
Yeah, this seems like a really decent middle point. Like, yep, here's your Star Wars game. It's Age of Empires.
Yeah, Star Wars Age of Empires. Go nuts.
Be a theme that I'm gonna have for a lot of these is back then it's like I wish there was a Star Wars game of blank. And pre-Disney, they did it.
Oh,
You'll get
yeah.
it, improv era of Star Wars games.
Exactly. You're right. It was the yes and and era.
Absolutely.
I
And
love
we
it.
need to go back.
Greg, do you have an update on the voice actor situation for Bounty Hunter?
Yes, and it is Timur.
All right. Well, there you go. That's why it's a masterpiece, everybody. Because
Oh, yeah.
back then, like the idea of having the actor like do the lines was pretty foreign. There was like one guy that in many of these games did Luke Skywalker, and he sounded very nasally and bad. And so
Yeah.
I appreciate the having the real actor. Okay, so what is
Very
next,
good.
Greg?
Next, we have. Ooh, there is only one choice for this one, but it's X-Wing.
The original X-Wing.
Original X-Wing, 1999 for DOS and Macintosh.
Good old
If you had either
DOS.
of those systems.
On the Macintosh system, the DOS system. Boy, that's
Yeah.
funny. So do you
Does this include the whole, like,
No, yeah,
series or
this is the original one. So I'm guessing
just
you didn't
X-Wing?
play this, right?
No, I think I came in at TIE Fighter because my earliest Star Wars flights and memories are just going through that obstacle course maze, which I think was TIE Fighter.
X-Wing was pretty basic compared to those, but it was the original. And it obviously like formed the basis of all of this good stuff. There was a story to it. It was pretty basic. Like, we're gonna get to TIE Fighter where it's not basic at all. Right now, I feel like we can just put it in the classic category. It may be sort of like the back of the classic category, but because it's like the original, I think that we
Yeah.
just like put it there.
So,
Cool. So yeah, what do we got next?
next we have.
I was worried that I was
Yeah.
gonna start having to get mean for the first time. Yeah, the
Right.
Episode One pinball game. Did you ever play this at Laser Quest in Spokane, Washington, Greg?
Oh, man. Yeah. I remember that in the corner. Oh, man.
Ready for that memory
Just
blast
like,
right there?
oh, yeah. We were Disco Lando and Kung Fu Yoda was our laser tag names. Oh, we were so cool.
Yeah, we were
Oh,
the
that should count
coolest
as a Star Wars
dudes.
game.
Why did we not keep those as our screen names?
I don't know, really.
That was kind of dumb of us.
So cool.
So, like, I put this on here because, in terms of pinball games, like, I've never seen a cooler pinball machine than the Star Wars Episode One. It had a
It had the
video
movie
screen.
going on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and so it is pinball, but it is also a video game because there's literally like video playing while you're playing it. So that's why I felt like it was cool to put in here. It
Yeah.
just like had all the bells and whistles. Like I was looking online, and if you want to get this now, back then you could buy one for like your bar or your home for I think like $2,000. Of
Get your money
course,
back
with
quick
inflation,
with quarters. Oh, yeah.
the
How much is that in today's
like
money?
well, in today's money is certainly more than that, but like I think these are pretty rare, and I think you're paying like 10K if you want to get one of these, because it is a crazy machine, and probably like maintaining them for the last 25 years has probably
Yeah.
not been simple. Like these came out right when the movie came out, and at the time, let me tell you, for the youngins out there. So if you're playing a pinball game in prison, and there's video screens, and like there's a giant Naboo starfighter in the middle that the ball bounces off of. It is insane. It's so good. I'm gonna put it in a masterpiece. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's fair. It would draw a lot of people that wouldn't be either crowds into it. Like, if you're a
Absolutely.
pinball fan, it's amazing. If you're a Star Wars fan, like, okay, cool, I'll play this pinball game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think just the fan appeal for everybody involved.
It was a good part of the reason why I liked going to Laser Quest. I will fully admit that. What is next, Greg?
Next, we have New Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Just like, Got to keep narrowing down which one am I talking about? Battlefront, which one? The new one, which one? The second one.
There's been a few different Battlefronts. Well, Greg, what
So,
do you think about the newest Battlefront 2?
most
Controversial.
recent, yeah, it's definitely controversial. I feel like it really improved with
Oh,
time.
big time.
Yeah. So now I would say it's a classic. At the beginning, I would maybe say good Star Wars. Like, I'm easy to please, unfortunately. Just having
Oh,
a
it's not very good
Battlefront
for
game
content,
would have
Gregory.
put it right, exactly. Would have put it at a good Star Wars tier. But man, just the sound and art design of everything, you feel like you're in Star Wars until like a Jedi comes and bounces around everywhere. Like, cool, this guy's just better than me. And he's got more cards. So yeah, the card system is still a little rough.
Yeah, especially when there's some costumes like the Darth Maul like post bisection costume is, I think that one became sort of famous that you have to do like 1,000 hours of gameplay to get that. It's
Yeah, man.
something really dumb. But I totally agree with you on the sound design. I think it is the best sounding Star Wars game that's ever been made. It sounds awesome, and that includes when you're doing starfighter stuff. It includes when you're on the ground and there's just like people blasting all around you. It puts you in the zone. The campaign was pretty good. I'd say that the campaign
Yeah, it gave us Aiden.
it gave us Aiden. It had a really strong start. I think she became a rebel too quickly.
Yeah, it fell into the new Disney issue of no one's ever mean.
No one's ever really mean. Yeah, it did. I think I can see why there would be a certain point where once you're in like the real genocidal zone of like post Death Star 2 Empire, that it would make sense for a character to like not be cool with that. Because when you transition from the Empire to the First Order, there's definitely like a change, and it's like getting into like it's moving from the zone of like sort of quote normal fascism, didn't think that was a term that I was going to use here, into like really, really bad like genocidal fascism.
It's fascism improv. Yes, and we'll blow up five planets at once.
Greg, have you been taking improv classes or something? This is like coming up a lot.
Yes, and it's doing wonders.
Obviously. All right, well, yeah, where do you want to put, yeah, class, do you say classic? Is that what you said?
Well, yeah, I'd say classic. But like you were saying with the never being really bad, the original Battlefronts had like a really good system of letting it go from being a clone trooper to like, cool, now you survived the Clone Wars and now you're part of the first and like you still respect and appreciate it. So you got to like be a natural progression of just some random dude going from good guys to bad guys. And I like that a lot
Okay.
more than Aiden's transition.
Yeah. I think it's interesting is that there are certainly many things that they could have taken hints from the older games, but yeah, let's put it there for now. What do we have next, Greg?
Yeah. Next, we have Rebel Assault 1993. Wow, just 93 for Windows, Mac, Sega CD, and 3DO.
Wow, this is on Sega CD and 3DO. My God. So this, for those who don't know, this was the first, so the Rebel Assault and Rebel Assault 2. They may be the only full motion video Star Wars games that were ever made. So this was during the era where, like, in the early 90s, it was like between the zone of being able to do 3D graphics, but games wanted to branch out a little bit and have stuff that like looked better than what you would see on a Super Nintendo, especially in PC, because you like had the ability to like use more video for that. And the interim solution until 3D graphics, like first until 3D graphics, like became good enough to really have in a game, is that you did these full motion video games where they were like on top of very poorly drawn 3D graphics. But then you would like have like literally video. I'm sure like younger people probably know what FMV is, but you would have recording of somebody in a Rebel pilot suit, and they're using that to like be the art of somebody like ducking behind a corner. And then ducking out and shooting guys. And this game, it had.
Didn't the original Mortal Kombat do that?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good comparison. It's what they did for the original Mortal Kombat in terms of like the characters. And so
It
yeah,
like really lets you punch up video quality from what they had back then.
yeah, for sure. And it looks really weird now, and it's very like janky looking now. But at the time, it actually was kind of cool looking. Especially, I liked the spaceship stuff. Even though it was all rail shooter, but it was like rail shooter where you got to click on things, and the sound was pretty good.
Yeah, and it was like Time Crisis where you got to like peek out behind a box, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was it. And I actually like I played it kind of recently. I played this and Rebel Assault 2 kind of recently to because they came in some kind of a bundle I got on Steam during like a Steam sale. And boy, they play back really bad now. But
That's
at the time, they were pretty cool. I don't know. Like, what do you think? This one's it's weird because it's so like the technology is so outdated, and
Yeah.
the game itself is not actually very good. I kind of feel like we need something in the bottom tiers.
Something does need to go there.
What do you think about Elite at Star Wars for Rebel Assault?
Yeah, I'd say at least a Star Wars.
It's not much of a
I don't know
game.
if it fully deserves Riot Control Squad just because of
No, no, no,
like
no. We'll
how unique the full motion video was.
have something for Riot Control Squad. Don't worry. What do we have next?
Next, we have Jedi Starfighter.
Great. Tell me about Jedi Starfighter.
Jedi Starfighter, you get your Jedi, you got
Okay.
the
Okay.
Starfighter, and is this one that introduced the Havoc bomber, or is that like a sequel to
That was the
this?
first Starfighter.
That was the first Star.
Yeah.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
So this was the
Oh man.
sequel to the game that
Two
was just called
Starfighter.
Starfighter. You play as, oh boy.
Yeah, not Plo Koon, but
No. You play as one of the Jedi on the Council. I apologize
yeah.
that I'm forgetting which one it is, but and then you're just starfighting around. I think Nim Drovos,
He's involved. Yeah, you see him.
he's also in the game. Like I think you still do some Havoc missions. Most of the game you're in like a Jedi starfighter, like
Yeah.
the Actus Jedi starfighter, or the Delta 7B, I guess I should
Delta Sprite? Yeah.
Aether Sprite, yeah. Where
Aether Sprite, yeah.
got there eventually. The Actus was the later
Yeah.
one. And then there were force powers.
Yeah, how
You
you
could do
think a
lightning.
Jedi would dogfight?
So obviously stuff that was pre-Disney where they would be like, that's the thing. You couldn't even make this game now because Disney and LFL would be like, I don't
Yeah.
think anybody like shot lightning out of their Jedi starfighters, so you can't do
Are they stupid?
that. Yeah, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, why don't you just like use the force to like make that other fighter's little joystick just go boop into the ground? It's so easy.
Yeah, boy. Yeah,
Makes just more sense.
when you think of like the mean stuff that Sith or dark side people could have done in a starfighter, I
Oh
do feel
yeah.
like that's an underexplored space.
Just turn the keys off.
Yeah, just turn it off, man. Like, Vader can just do like a flyby if they're like, in an atmosphere and you're just like, okay, I'm gonna turn this engine off, I'm gonna turn this engine off, and then the whole X-Wing squadron just crashed. You don't even need to waste any lasers, man.
That's a neat trick.
I'll try turning his engine off. That's neat.
I
Where do you want to put Jedi Starfighter, Greg?
think that's classic.
Yeah, I think it's
Yeah.
classic too. But I'm gonna put it actually at the top of classic right now. I think it was a really fun game, PlayStation
Yeah.
2. Okay, what's next?
Next, we have one where I instinctually want to make it a masterpiece, but it definitely doesn't deserve it. It's Star Wars Episode One Jedi Power Battles for the PlayStation and Dreamcast.
Greg,
And
so this game, it was just re-released, as you say. Boy.
yeah, oh
This
man.
game.
Yeah, I paid, I think, $20 for it recently and shouldn't
Yes.
have.
So when you bought it again, were you as surprised as I was at the sound that happens when you pick up like power-ups in that game?
Oh yeah. Push.
I mean, like the Yoda sound.
Oh yeah. Wasn't that when you get health?
I think it's when you get health is that you hear like this little Yoda chuckle. It's like,
Yeah.
it's so weird.
That's so.
This game is terrible. It's
Yeah.
like hard, and it has platforming elements when it really shouldn't.
Yeah, definitely shouldn't.
I like it was a nostalgia play to re-release it, and so like that's cool, good for you, but
And it's
there.
got like you upgrade by your score on the levels, and to like get good enough to beat Darth Maul at the end, you like have to basically ace
Oh
every
yeah, that's
mission.
right. God.
And so like the new one, you get level select. So like, okay, cool, I'll just play Duel of the Fates and call it good. Then I took me forever to learn that I was like awful. level one guy challenging Darth Maul.
Yeah,
Pretty
I
sick.
mean, it's cool that they put more of a modern bent on this with the re-release, as that nostalgia fans can do it. But like, let's be honest, this game was garbage.
Plo Koon got to shoot like good side lightning, so that's cool.
Yeah, it was like orange. Is that
Yeah, and just like a Kamehameha laser.
right?
So while it is targeted directly at me, it's still riot control.
Right, I'm glad we agree. What do we have next?
Star Wars Episode One: Battle for Naboo.
Yeah, so this was the follow-up game to Rogue Squadron. It was in like the expansion pack era, where the way that you would sort of squeeze some extra money out of like studio time that was spent on a game, would be that you would put out like you would use those assets and like make a new game that was usually like shorter, but using a lot of the same assets, and then they just need to like change the art. But this was basically Rogue Squadron for Episode One, and it was fine.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good, at least it's Star Wars. I watched some like Let's Play of these, and they are only like 2 or 3 hours long, also, which is kind of interesting. Where like back then, I definitely wasn't smart enough to,
That's what I mean, expansion pack era. And yeah, like
yeah.
I think it's yeah, back then, if there's something like six levels, then you don't really know enough to be critical. Like, we didn't think about game length back then, except for like JRPGs, where you knew you were in for a pound if you were playing a JRPG. But I think for like everything else, it was sort of like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. At least with Star Wars, totally agree. What do we have next?
Star Wars Jedi Dark Forces 2.
Oh
So
my
good.
God. So we're at Dark Force 2 Jedi Knight, we should say.
Yeah.
Not Star Wars Jedi Outcast, Dark Forces 3 Jedi Knight 2.
These
Things
games
got
are
kind
so
of
simple
weird.
to. And,
What is your so speaking of FMV,
Oh, yeah.
the
How did they
cutscenes in
do
this
it?
game were filmed in FMV, and they
How
were
fun was
like
that for
they were
those
on
guys?
oh, I'm sure. Boy, some of the acting.
So
Boy,
good.
howdy. What an era it was for.
Yeah, and then just like the rapid change to these pixelated graphics of
Yeah.
the actual game.
Yep. So we were talking about the early days of 3D graphics. It doesn't get much earlier than this in terms of
Yep.
like fully 3D rendered games. I think that what they got right with the sequel that we'll talk about is that you do want to have a game that's more optimized for a third person mode when you have the lightsaber out,
Yeah.
which is not really like I think you could go third person in this game, but it didn't. It looks like crap when you did. It
Yeah, it looks
didn't
super
actually help
weird.
you, and so you're playing most of the game just like with a lightsaber in front of your face, or he still used blasters, but you're just like sort of going yeah. Yeah,
No
it's just a
stick.
series of bonking with sticks, and that it's really funny to just like think about what a lightsaber duel was in like for that game in particular, which was all about just like be away from them when they swing and then move towards them and swing and then back
Yeah,
off.
it's fencing.
It's exactly like fencing.
Oh man, yeah. Some of the antagonists in that game were so cool. I remember Darth Maul. He was this like orange Hulk guy that had his legs chopped off, and he was
Oh
just like floating
yeah.
around on like a little Men
Holy
in Black
crap.
torso ball.
Yeah.
Oh, he was
Wow.
so good.
His
Yeah,
name was Darth Maw, MAW, is that
yeah. You know, back when they had clever
right?
name ideas.
And which is funny because yeah, like just like Darth Maul, he was cut in half.
Yeah, it's
And
like
this
poetry.
was his line is exactly like poetry. Boy, Jedi Knight, man. Yeah, where do you want to put Jedi Knight? I
Think
think classic.
classic. Yeah, it also taught me like a lot about,
Oh,
because that
God.
had one of the first multiplayer games, right? Like you could play online
Jedi
versus
Knight.
mode.
Jedi Knight, I think, had the first multiplayer. It's possible that it was Jedi Outcast that had the Jedi Outcast definitely had multiplayer, but I
It
think
might have been
Jedi.
Outcast that I'm thinking of. Yeah. Because I remember a lot of cheaters, and that was like my first
Oh yeah.
introduction to people able to do that.
They didn't have Punk Buster back then, so how would
Yeah.
you catch them? All right. Who do we have next?
Next, we have, what a trip, Star Wars Masters of Terrakazi. We finally made it. Really big, formative game
There's a
for the
lot of
Coen
history
brothers.
in this game. Just like with another fighting game that we're going to talk about, one of the key features, it was team battle, So it wasn't tag team, but it was just that each player could pick up to eight characters. And that was like the usual thing that we did. And you know,
Yeah.
the thing that you want to do with team battle is that you want to put your best characters up last. It's funny that
After
like
you've
if
made it through Hor and Thok, you finally get to Darth Vader.
So yeah, this game, for the kids who don't know, is this was the one and only Star Wars fighting game, and it had like one actual original character, Arden Lynn, who was actually like pretty cool. She was
Really cool.
badass
Bionic
with a
Commando.
she had a robot arm, and she was pretty
She's like,
decent, like original character.
yeah, that was great.
And then you
And
had
put names to
Gamorrean
faces for a lot of the other.
Yeah, exactly. There is like a sand. There is a Tusken Raider named Hor, Hoar. For those
Yep.
listening, there's a Gamorrean guard named Thok.
Hokk.
And Thok was thick, let me tell you.
Oh.
But the and then it was pretty much just like every other Star Wars character that you can think of.
Jango Fett was just an alternate costume for Boba Fett, and this was like before we knew who he even was, right?
Was it no? It wasn't Jango Fett. It was Jodo
Oh yeah, it was
Kast,
a Jodo cast, yeah.
because yeah, for this is another one for the oldies, but the original sort of like clone drama with Boba Fett had to do with like a sort of like Final Fantasy VII style identity mix up with the guy named Jodo Kast,
Yeah.
and yeah, he was an alternate costume. This was before any prequel stuff,
Yeah. And
and.
then some other Mandalorian. Cool.
The controversy part is that you played Vader a lot, and you had this one move where he would like sweep the
Lightsaber
lightsaber, and
for
it would just you could just like catch people in a loop,
Infinite loop.
in an infinite loop until they got a ring out. And, you know, I should say for the people out there is that you're actually very good at fighting games, Gregory. What is the rank that you got to in Dragon Ball FighterZ?
I got up to God of Destruction, which is really how I feel
It was pretty
inside.
great.
That's what Darth Vader was in Master of Terracotta.
That's right.
But just from repeating a little golf swing lightsaber uppercut, and then you got close enough, there was like a force lightning thing that pushed you all the way to the other side of the map.
Okay, but yeah,
It was
it was
the
the first fighting
cheapest.
game that you played, and yet you ended up actually becoming good at fighting games. I never did, but it was the first like fighting game that we were allowed to have, because you know our
Just
mom would not have wanted
lightsabers.
us to like have Street Fighter, or certainly not Mortal Kombat. It's like Star Wars game, that's fine. But like, let's be honest, this game is bad. It's a bad fighting game.
Very unbalanced. One of the things that I remembered of how bad it was is that like Han Solo, the Stormtrooper, and Chewbacca all had like a hidden missiles type move where they would shoot rockets into the air and then they would come up behind you. And it was a 3D fighter, so you could still like run in a circle
That's
to
right.
outrun the missiles, but you were at the exact same speed as them and they never stopped. There was no like cooldown for the missiles to stop following you. So you got in these infinite loops of just running in circles while your
I
opponent's just
remember
watching you until the rocket
that.
hits you. And that's peak Star Wars for me.
It makes you wonder why did you bother running? Because you also couldn't block, if I remember right, you couldn't block it either.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, you could, like, maybe duck, but by the time you're stuck in the merry-go-round, it's too late. Or we were, like, not clever enough to
Not very
find the
good.
counterplay.
Dude, I kind of would put it at the bottom of at least of Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a nostalgia, but yeah, I'm gonna put it there. What do we have
Yeah.
next?
My heart says masterpiece.
Okay.
Star.
Jedi Fallen Order. What
That's so good.
do you think? What do you think about Fallen Order?
I think it's one of the best new Star Wars games we've had. Like, it's the idea of what it could be. It's like cool Star Wars, Dark Souls, somebody new.
Yeah.
And like the original trilogy era right between. So that's like the perfect time zone.
It's the perfect time to just like, you know, if you're playing a Jedi who's on the run, you know, like being around a bunch of Inquisitors, and you know, like it's just a just solid game. It's a really solid
Yeah.
game, and the acting's pretty good. Like
Yeah.
the Cal Kestis as a character, there's not like a ton to him, but I think that there is quite a bit to the characters around him, and so I think that it works pretty well. I think
Yeah.
that they made it, And one of the things I was most impressed by was that, spoiler alert, that when you run into Vader at the end of the game, they make it work in a way that I was actually pretty impressed by, which is that you have to sort of hold your own for like a couple minutes, and then you just like start running away from his ass.
Yeah, and he's clearly just messing with you.
I think that he says something like, Vader says something like, "You're outmatched, boy," and then Cal's like, "Yeah, I know." And like Deborah Wilson's character, she like charges at Vader and does this like whatever force throw and solves it. It's just a really solid game, and who knew that they were going to make a Star Wars Dark Souls, and that they really made it work, and I was impressed. I think that we'll get to the sequel in terms of it certainly having more content,
but yeah,
I think that it'll be interesting to sort of see where we fall on that one. But I don't know. I think you think like high classic for this one?
Yeah, I'd say high classic just for that. It's like the best unique new, Disney games that led the sequel being really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, cool. What do we have next?
Man, speaking of sequels and things that started with the new Disney era, we have the hit video game Fortnite. Right. Everybody's favorite Star Wars game. Somehow Fortnite made it onto this list.
Yeah, somehow Fortnite made it onto this list. Palpatine is still in Fortnite despite not being in Star Wars Legion anymore. There's a lot to say.
We're okay with this.
Yeah, we had a little discussion in our like local gaming Discord about should we include the games that feature Star Wars characters. Of course, like, chaos always reigns in our local Discord, so of course the answer was yes. We are going to include Fortnite. And I think this is an important one, Greg, is that we're gonna rate Fortnite as a game. Okay. Like, it is a Star Wars game, it has Star Wars in it. So in the grand scheme of things, where would you put Fortnite?
Man, if we're judging it based on how I play Fortnite, it's Riot Control Squad. The cultural impact that Fortnite has had on the world and gaming community and Star Wars, because like the opening scrawl of Rise of Skywalker talks about Palpatine sending a message out to the galaxy, and you get to hear that for the first time if you're in a Fortnite game.
Wow.
And like, whoa, I'm John Star Wars. This is amazing. Somehow they've tied it all together. Yeah.
Was that like an event? Like, you were like in the Fortnite game, and then Palpatine would go like, "Hey, I'm back."
Yeah, he really does. He just appears in the sky and is like, "Man, something, something, dark side, something, something, chicken dinner."
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then that made it to the scroll of Rise of Skywalker. And if you didn't play Fortnite, you're just, that's cool. Your first sign. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I think that, like, when you said that, when you use the term cultural impact next to Fortnite, all sorts of emotions welled up in me, and I started having thoughts about like if there's people out there who are going to be like writing like 5,000 word blog essays or doing like hour long videos about the cultural impact of Fortnite. I do think that those people should go to jail.
But, yeah, it has the cultural impact of a Death Star laser.
Exactly.
Yeah, you did a lot, but
Okay, so Fortnite, where are we gonna put Fortnite? I mean, it's a classic, right? I mean, Fortnite is just a classic game.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just is. So sorry.
One game of Fortnite.
Oh, I've won. I think I won 3 games. It was definitely like early pandemic for me, going like, okay, well, my wife's out of the apartment, so she wouldn't want me to play Elden Ring, so I guess I'll just like play Fortnite a little bit.
That's so, classic.
Begrudging classic, I agree. Let's put it at the bottom of classic, because it is still Fortnite. What do we have next?
Next we have the 2011 game Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh yeah.
Which I feel like could be broken down into like 8 games.
It could be, but like what if during the era that we played, which was, I played it for like a year and a half, I think. What about you?
Yeah, I played once at like the beginning and then once again when it did the free-to-play. I did another character.
And then so for those who don't know, this it's an MMO, but unlike like to a greater extent than World of Warcraft, there is like a real campaign that involves cutscenes and like dialogue interactions with like various members of the crew that you roll with. And so like there was a flavor of the old KOTOR games. But yeah, which campaigns did you end up doing?
I ended up doing the Imperial Agent and the Sorcerer. They're both really, really good. The Imperial Agent was just wild. It was just an amazing spy movie.
It was a spy movie. It really was. And
Metal Gear Star Wars.
I was not expecting it at all. And so it was sort of funny because it takes place like so long ago that there is this like gigantic Sith Empire that is basically like the same as the Empire from the original movies, except this one has like Sith everywhere in it. But there's also like a whole bunch of Jedi. So it's like, it was like the real Galactic Civil War when there was really some stuff going down. Really, honestly, really solid game. It is still around. There's still plenty of people who still play it.
They've really streamlined the free-to-play, so you can just like power through the campaign for whatever character you want. You don't need to like grind or do side quests or anything like that anymore.
That's awesome.
Really respects your time for an MMO.
Yeah. That's really cool. I didn't know that. You know, like, I think that just as far as MMOs go, I know there's Warcraft people out there, but I don't think anybody tried as hard as EA did with the Old Republic.
Yeah.
For a user experience in an MMO. I don't know. Do you want to put this at like the bottom of Masterpiece? Because it really was good.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think it's worth it, especially for my own personal experience with the Sith Sorcerer Darth Lightning Face.
Just very Greg Paul name right there.
Oh, yeah, so good. And like he had a Sith ghost haunt him, and most of it was just like trying to get this Sith person that you killed out of your head.
Stop bugging me, man.
Right. I can't even hit you with lightning.
Darth Lightning Face. Yeah, why wasn't that like, your screen name?
You get the title and you can like put it over your head like, yeah, I'm a Darth.
So wait, did he become, so your name was Lightning Face and then Darth was your title?
I became Darth Lightning Face, yeah. I didn't become Lightning Face at the very beginning.
Okay, that makes sense.
Named because I shot lightning at my face.
Would the accolade have been better if it was about Lightning Face instead of what it was about? The answer is probably yes.
I really like the accolade, but no one else did. And we saw 2 seconds of Plagueis, and that was cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just going to make me mad that they're not going to finish that at this point. I did fight for the accolade to end up a little bit. I fought to get it into at least Star Wars, if I remember right. So what do we got next?
Next, we have Force Unleashed 2.
Yeah. Boy, talk about not canon.
Oh, yeah.
This was like, I'm like looking at this, and this is the final LucasArts game that was pre-Disney takeover of the property,
and it shows.
A lot of crazy stuff happens. It's definitely pales in comparison to the original one. But from a technical standpoint and a storytelling standpoint, it's cool that it, like, obviously these games got Sam Witwer into the zone of doing Star Wars stuff, and then he would eventually become the voice of Darth Maul, which is how most people know him. But he was the voice and model, I think, for this guy. What was
Darkiller?
Darkiller, that's right.
Oh, so cool.
yeah, this is the first iteration of Starkiller, which had been Luke's original name, was going to be Starkiller, and then they took it out. And so they called this guy that, and then he got removed from existence, and then they named a big old snow base with a laser. And so that's been all the Starkiller. That's the history of the term Starkiller. We need to go back.
We've gone too far. Starkiller, I remember, didn't it come out for the Wii also?
Oh, yeah.
They're like a scene where you bring down a Star Destroyer, like using the Wii motion control.
That was the first Force Unleashed. We will talk about that. This one, it was the Force Unleashed 2, Gregory, because you had two lightsabers.
It's like poetry.
I think this game was crap, and I want to put it in Riot Control Squad.
Yeah, that's fair. If we can put the other one at least one higher.
Oh yeah, the other one will be higher for sure. Yeah. What do we have?
Rogue Squadron 3, Rebel Strike.
Yeah, this game. It was, I think this one was also GameCube only, if I remember right, Rogue Leader was. And both those games, I don't know what they did, man, but they looked good.
Yeah.
They sounded good. It was sort of like, It was a taste of what Battlefront was going to end up being in terms of like playing a Star Wars game that really felt and sounded and looked like Star Wars. And this one had some on-foot segments that were not amazing, and they actually sort of bring the whole package down a little bit, in my opinion. But it was it was fun. It was entertaining. I think that the Rogue Leader is actually going to end up being the pinnacle of the trilogy, so to speak. I would call it good Star Wars. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say it's good Star Wars.
Yeah, cool. Let's do that. Rebel Strike, good Star Wars. You did get to play on a Tauntaun.
Yeah, that alone is... We don't get enough of that.
Yeah, it was the inspiration for Tauntaun combat in Star Wars Legion, some might say. It was Rebel Strike.
You're welcome, guys, from the early days of Legion.
That's right. What do we have next?
Next we have Soul Calibur 4.
All right.
Which, we'd have to break it up into platforms.
Although they did, I think they released paid DLC for both of them to like get the other one. For those who don't know, in Soul Calibur 4, the part of the big conceit of the Soul Calibur games ever since the second one was, I guess it was actually only the second and fourth one, because the third one was PlayStation exclusive. But the conceit was that different platforms had a different exclusive character. And so for Soul Calibur 2, the GameCube had Link, PlayStation had Heihachi, and Xbox had Spawn. Completely whack, and he looks terrible, by the way. That's right. Soul Calibur 4, meanwhile, though, this was PlayStation 3 Xbox 360. It had PlayStation, because you know, black dynamic, that had Darth Vader, and then the Still Xbox cool. version had
Green Dynamic.
Green Dynamic, exactly. There you go. It's all about the aesthetics. And then they released DLC where you could like get the other one. And so you had this 3D fighter that happened to have Yoda and Vader in it. And then of course
was
the next
Star-Killer
one
in it too? Or did I make that up?
Oh, he was. You're right. Yep. They put him in there. Yeah. God.
The best game that Star-Killer.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's crazy you remembered that. It was a fun fighting game.
It's been great, yeah. Yeah, it was a really good fighting game.
I think it was like, it's a classic.
Yeah, it's classic.
Classic fighting game. Soul Calibur 4. I'm going to put it ahead of, I'm just going to put it back there at Fortnite. I don't know. But at some point, I'm going to be inspired to like put one of these like not actually Star Wars games up front, but not yet. So what do we have next?
Next, we have Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords.
What do you think about Sith Lords, Gregory?
It's a shame the missed opportunities that we could have had, but it was still really cool. The characters were really unique. Mm-hmm. I really liked that part. Like, the two bad guys were really cool. Just like one guy too angry to die, and then like a force user feeding on all life energy, and then the bad guy Kreia, and then there was a bounty hunter that like if you become friends with him enough, you discover that he was like a Jedi assassin.
Yeah,
the characters were great.
Totally, this was the punk rock version of Knights of the Old Republic 1. It was to KOTOR 1 what Last Jedi was to Force Awakens in a lot of ways. Yeah. It was all about sort of like questioning moral dynamics, like what is the Jedi really all about? What is the Sith really all about? Over the course of the game, you have the choice of either like killing them or rescuing them, but you run across these like Jedi masters who are in hiding. Because between the first Old Republic game, like the first Knights of the Old Republic, where the Republic is very much in control, and then by KOTOR 2, the Republic is like sort of almost dead at that point. And so you're like rescuing Jedi Masters who are like kind of hanging out on these other planets. You run into a couple characters from the first game, including the Candor's Order comes back as Mandalore.
And that was so cool.
And we loved him because that voice actor John Sagan passed away a few years ago, but he was also solid as Snake, and he's just like one of my favorite voice actors ever. This game is punk rock, and the scene where you gather all the masters together And if you decide to go dark side at that point, it is great. I won't totally spoil that just because if you haven't played this game, you really, really should.
It's still worth it, yeah.
They released it for the new console, so you can just like go play it. It's actually great for Switch because it's like a good game to just like have with you to play over time on the go. Just really amazing story and voice acting and characters. And it was, even though this was not BioWare, it was Obsidian, but they really like showed that they understood what they were dealing with. And it's a shame that they ran out of budget, so they had to cut a bunch of content.
Yeah,
But if you're
and
playing on
modders
PC,
came
you can.
back.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think KOTOR 2 is like, I think it's a masterpiece, and I actually think maybe we can put it at the top at the moment.
Yeah, that seems fair.
I love this game. Okay, what do we
I
have
wish
next?
that we kept going with those. Next, we have Star Wars Starfighter, the arcade game.
Starfighter, the arcade game.
Some 3 Star Wars Starfighter? Or maybe it's just like listed as arcade.
Okay, yeah, I don't know why they list that as arcade, but this one,
It's the first
it's
Starfighter.
the first Starfighter. And so
Yeah.
this is what gave us the Havoc. And then there was like some dude or lady, I don't remember which, in N1 Starfighter. And then the third one was some like little
Yeah,
zoo thing
N1.
that I don't remember what it was. It was it's very arcadey, obviously, in comparison
Yeah.
to the X-Wing and TIE Fighter games, but it's okay. It wasn't as fun as Jedi Starfighter because you didn't have force
Four
powers,
stars.
and
Yeah.
the characters aside from Nim, like I liked Nim, but the other ones like weren't great. I would
Yeah.
put it in good Star Wars, like maybe towards the
That's
bottom.
yeah, definitely.
It
It's like
was,
from those games that made their way into like X-Wing and
yeah,
other like
yeah.
became canon at the time.
It was definitely a part of like the slow buildup in culture that like led in the Star Wars culture, I should say, that led to like the idea of doing a game where you just were like a tabletop game where you're just flying X-wings and stuff around. So
Yeah.
it was definitely part of that lineage. Okay, what's next?
After that short little intermission, we are back to Knights of the Old Republic, the original.
Okay, what needs to be said? It's like I think really the only question is whether do we like it more than the sequel or less than the sequel? What do you think,
I
Greg?
think just for impact, it has to go first because it was wild. The story is amazing. Getting to actually be a Jedi for the first time, like for a Star Wars RPG.
Now, Gregory, I'm going to
The
expose you a little bit. Did you or did you not go full dark side in this game at your first opportunity?
oh yeah, every time. I think this like led to my concept of dark side points. Just anytime I could, it's just like tell people to jump off a roof or
Yeah, ever since we played this game, like for his entire life, Greg refers to any kind of like moral scale in video games as getting either light side points or dark side points, which is, of course, was like literally how it did work. And then, the same company, BioWare, obviously went on to make Mass Effect after this. So that was sort of like their immediate follow-up. And that game, it's Paragon and Renegade, but Greg and I knew that it was actually dark side points to light side points.
absolutely. Headbutt a guy in the face? Nope, that's dark side points.
That's right. Boy,
Punch reporter, dark side points.
those games were great when they added the trigger. Press the right trigger for a dark side points. That
Yeah.
was great. Yeah, like
The
this
whole
game,
reveal for
it was great.
the
It was
twist.
mind-blowing. It's got a twist.
Except,
Go ahead.
like, my player character's, like, face was really nerdy and gentle looking and unassuming. So, when, spoilers, the flashback and take off the Revan mask, and it's
Yeah,
just this
it
like
looks goofy.
innocent big nose, like, hi guys, it's me, Darth Revan.
That it's funny you say that because when I showed this game to my wife for the first time, we had the exact same scenario where it was this nerdy looking guy. We used a randomly generated name, which was Jack Kazra. And so the moment he takes the mask off, she just starts like bawling and laughing. It's like, oh, Jack Kazra.
It's
What a mean looking Sith Lord that is. But
Yeah, it's just
despite the
like Dimitri
goofiness,
Martin looking guy.
I think it was the same guy. He looked like Dimitri Martin, exactly. But boy, it's a great game. It's
Yeah.
just it's so good. And I didn't even realize until much later that I think this game uses just like
Dungeons
the
and
Dungeons and
Dragons.
Dragons.
Yeah.
I guess it was fourth edition. I may be wrong about that one, or like 3.5. But yeah, like it under the surface, it was like doing these roles, and so it actually was sort of Baldur's Gate-ish, and that makes sense because BioWare, I think, like the game they did right before this was Neverwinter Nights, and so they basically just like turned it into this, and yeah, but it's
Yeah, it would
awesome.
even like tell you the stats is like 2d6 of damage or something,
That's right.
which like I didn't know.
When we were kids, we had no idea because
No
like
idea.
neither of us played a table. Neither of us played a like an actual RPG until we were well into our 30s.
Yeah.
So we had no idea back then.
I'd do so good at
that's right.
it
Yeah, it's I know what the D's mean.
now.
Okay, what do we have next?
Next we have X-Wing versus TIE Fighter,
Okay,
1997.
this was the one that didn't have a story, but it had a smorgasbord of options for multiplayer. And so this was during the peak, like a couple years after Quake, so that people knew what online multiplayer with PC games were. And this was just the bomb. And you would just like, hey, what are the servers that are up for X-Wing versus TIE Fighter? And you just join up and you would have like 8v8 or whatever it was, and you just like shoot guys. I think that there were like preset single player missions, but it was all like storyboards that were written in front of you in terms of what was going on. There wasn't any voice acting outside of the main game. There weren't cutscenes. There wasn't like a single character, but it was awesome. It was definitely like a technological leap from TIE Fighter, and ended up being the precursor to the sort of like the final iteration. Yeah, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. I think it's maybe at the top of, or maybe right below Fallen Order in the classic zone,
I'd say so.
is where I would put it.
Yeah, I love Starfighter, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, what do we have next?
Next, we have Empire Strikes Back for the Nintendo Entertainment
Okay,
System.
so I put this in here. Do you remember this game at all, Greg?
No, I only remember as far back as the Super Star Wars.
Right. So this is the one game on this list. Like folks that are seeing the browser, you'll see that there's a whole bunch of really old games on here, but most of these were too old for either of us. But this is like the one game where I am like old enough to remember it because I played it at a friend's house a few times when you would have been too young. But it was the precursor to the Super Star Wars games. In terms of how it played, it was definitely like it was a 2D platformer. But it had a snow speeder section. It had a riding on a Tauntaun section. Weirdly enough, when Luke gets to Cloud City, he hijacks an AT-ST and he like stomps around in that for a little while before the Vader fight. So that part's pretty whack. And it has some like really sick chiptunes, Star Wars music. It's really hard also. And so it's not like great, but I think that I'm just going to put it at the bottom of good Star Wars. And I had yet to.
Yeah, and looking at this, I looked up some of the image for it. I sent you the box art for it, and the back has just this best picture of Yoda.
Oh God, I'm gonna have to look at that.
Just really Nintendo era. It's great. Oh man, it's from the Cartridge Twins.
Oh man, whoa, that picture of Yoda. I'm gonna have to
Yeah,
put that up in the video. My God.
the patrons just got their money worth.
Wow.
Blast from the past.
That is nuts. Okay, so that is on there. Okay, what do we have next?
Next, we have Star Wars Dark Forces, 1995 for MS-DOS.
Yeah, man. What do you got
Yeah.
to say about Dark Forces?
Doom, like when you run, you gotta move your gun. Oh man, I feel like I did the Death Star level like over and over and over again and
That
couldn't figure
was
out how to get to
the
like.
first level.
Yeah,
This.
and I don't think I could figure out doors. I was six.
Yeah, I think you like had to press F or something in order to like interact with something. But
Before
yeah,
you could
that
even like look up, right?
you could not look up. It was 3D, but in the sense that you could like go up and down stairs, but you're like you could only pan right and left with the actual mouse. I think that when they re-released it, they made it like a truly 3D shooter. But yeah, at the time, I think you could only like pan right and left. And it's funny that younger people who know about Star Wars, the history for them is that this has the inspiration for two important things that we know about Star Wars now. Number one, This was the original telling of how the Death Star plans were acquired for the first Death Star, I should say. So pre-Rogue One, obviously, the you know this jerk Kyle Katarn running around in his little moldy crow spaceship. But then also this was the first time that the concept of dark troopers was introduced, and that they would end up being sort of a key thing through the rest of the games, was just like big old robot stormtrooper guys. And then, of course, they became a real thing with Mandalorian, which was pretty cool for those of us who are old enough to remember the original dark troopers. It was a solid game. Like the sequels definitely did better, but I think we can put it in good Star Wars then.
Yeah, it's good Star Wars. I really wish that we could have brought Cal Katarn back. I think he was like the best part of Legends.
Yeah. It was a little bit in the era where, hey, if you were a hero and you originally weren't a Jedi, like, guess what? We're going to make you a Jedi. It happened to him. It happened to Corran Horn in the books.
Yeah, he Jedi.
They stayed away from Wedge, thank God. But
it's like every B-Wing pilot that's named an X-Wing turned out to be a Jedi. Like Kean Parlander. And the others.
And yet when Disney took over, they didn't get any force points in X-Wing. Very sad, very sad.
Force sense of Corran Horn and E-Wing. Oh, so good. Next, we have Force Unleashed 1. Speaking of people that get awesome Jedi powers.
Yeah. What is your main memory of Force Unleashed 1?
Using the Wiimotes to bring down a Star Destroyer.
Okay, so, that was something.
I was like the perfect age and time for this to
I agree.
Not think too hard.
It was a great sandbox game, honestly. It had this physics engine in it that was proprietary and basically never used in any other games as far as I'm aware. But they basically made this physics engine in-house to make it so that when you're like shifting guys around with the force, that they would like actively try to grab on to each other or bulkheads. And it really worked. It was very impressive, actually.
Yeah, you could feel the dark side points.
You just went around hunting Jedi for Vader, and then of course you do eventually become a good guy. Or do you have a choice? You do have a choice. You either become a good guy, or you take it in the very non-canon zone, and I think you like kill Vader at the Emperor, like to become the Emperor's new apprentice.
Well, no, I think you try to help him kill the Emperor, and it backfires, and Vader's like, cool, this isn't going to work out. I'm just going to kill Starkiller.
That's right.
So it's like a very good rule of two of like the apprentice trying to kill the master, and then it's not working, so then I'll turn on my apprentice.
Right.
Removing number three from the rule of two.
And he very much dies in the canon of this game, Starkiller does, which was made Force Unleashed 2 sort of weird, because it ends up being this whole clone thing on Kamino, and that's the reason why the game was dumb. Yeah, you did bring down a Star Destroyer with just the power of the Force. the power of the Nintendo Wiimote.
The Nintendo Wiimotes using Force powers was like a huge gimmick, but man, back then is like the precursor to VR and like Vader Immortal, and you got to be like, okay, that's cool.
I want to put this at the bottom of classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, okay, I'm actually going to move it.
Or top of good Star Wars.
Top of good Star Wars. Let's do it. I like it. Okay, what do we have next?
The 1997 classic Yoda Stories, which I watched most of a Let's Play through it. You, at Yoda's behest, visit a snow farm that is somehow a front for the Empire.
I remember stuff like that. So explain what Yoda Stories is for the kids, because they definitely won't know.
I don't know if I know. It's like Link or Pokemon style graphics of you're just walking around, bonking people with your stick. You start out hunting frogs in the swamp, and you are Luke Skywalker. Yoda teaches you how to use the Force, but it's like very much a click adventure where you got this huge inventory and you got to find out like what key opens what box where.
I think you were onto something. I think the best way to describe it is what if Link to the Past was like a fan
a long made time ago.
Yeah, what if a fan of Link to the Past made a PC version of it and then tacked on Star Wars stuff and made it look somehow worse, despite having come out a few years later.
Yeah, I was blown away at how bad it looks.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Luckily, at the very end, a ET looking alien, like a little green man, the whole thing. He takes you in his flying saucer to another swamp planet where you meet a cunning archaeologist named Indiana Jones. He is
Wow,
in
really?
this canon game. Yes, this alien brings you to a swamp to hang out with Indiana Jones, and he thinks that your youthful vigor will be just the tonic that the cynical guy needs.
I'm gonna put Yoda Stories at the top of Riot Control Squad. Just
Yeah, that's fair.
this game's bad. All right.
Yeah, I don't
It was
think.
entertaining to us when we were actual like little children, but honestly,
Yeah.
not that entertaining. I think we both got bored of this like pretty quickly.
Yeah.
What do
It's
we?
like, feel like it's one I couldn't read.
Oh no.
Probably could. Yeah. pretty colors. Next is Star Wars Force Commander. That sounds great.
Yeah. Tell me about Force Commander, Greg.
Oh man, Force Commander is like a 3D strategy game where you get to really feel like you're this General Veers type person. You get to use AT-ATs and create your bases. It's all like the first like big 3D models of these things. Like I can't even think of what strategy game it would be like now.
Well, it was, I mean, it was an RTS. It was but it was 3D, and so you could like pan the camera. Probably there's probably other RTS, but it was like Command and Conquer but fully 3D rendered.
Yeah, and I think you had like command abilities, like you could bring in a drop ship that would then automatically deploy stormtroopers, and like it brought in a lot of the at the time like legends that became like this is the type of model that they use, like they use this weird rectangle with triangles that's a stormtrooper drop ship, and that like made its way into the rest of canon. I feel like a lot of stuff like that was introduced then.
Yeah, honestly, if I remember right, there was a rebel tank. I think
Yeah.
that it actually looked a lot like what the saber tank ended up being.
Yeah,
It
definitely.
looks like fairly similar anyway. But yeah, this by the way, this was one of the original you start as a bad guy and then become a good guy
Right.
situations. But at least in this game, unlike with Battlefront 2, where you're a bad guy for like literally two levels and then you switch. You play half a game as in the Empire, and then I think it's because your character like refused to do a war crime,
Yeah,
defecting, and then you end up taking part in a few of like the movie battles. You're like the overhead commander for the Battle of Endor, so there is like that level I remember is really crazy because you can control Chewie, and one of the things like in that game, you could actually have him get into an AT-AT,
Yeah.
and really mess stuff up. Because like Chewie basically just had the like click here to grapple and take over an Imperial walker.
That's so good.
The game was not very well balanced. It had this weird but like kind of cool like sort of metal-ish version of the Star Wars soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which like mu much much ado was made of it at the time. I think like the execution of it maybe wasn't the best in the world, but yeah, where do you want
It
to put Force
worked.
Commander?
I'd say it's a low classic.
Yeah, I would put Force Commander at, oh man,
High
yeah, you know
classic.
what?
It was.
Yeah, sure, it was the original Star Wars RTS, so it certainly got that going for it, and I do like the music. Okay, what do we have
Yeah.
next?
Next, we have Lego Star Wars. Are we just
We're
as a
gonna lump
concept?
in we're gonna lump in all the Lego Star Wars as a concept. I think that the it luckily it's easy to say which one now, which
Yeah,
is Lego the
the
Skywalker
all of them
saga,
one.
the one that has all of them in it. But obviously that is sort of like the evolution of many, 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 many Lego Star Wars games. I think that this one's did you play Skywalker saga at all?
I started to. I was sad that like you can choose which trilogy to start out with, but like you couldn't hop directly into like I just wanted to do the Battle of Hoth, and I would have had to play through like all of A New Hope to get there.
That makes sense. And as the games went on, they started to add more and more like vehicle stuff, and the sense of humor, the writing for them got better. I think that the key reason why these games are funny,
When it
whereas
allowed themselves to use dialogue.
exactly, yeah, I guess the newest one did have dialogue in it,
Yeah.
but.
They talk.
It was better. I liked it more when they had no dialogue and they would just like show up. I think when it was like when Vader says, "I'm your father," is that he holds up like a family picture and he's like, but these games are great. They're great for kids.
Or co-op with.
Yeah, they're great for co-op on the couch for sure. And so obviously, like, we just don't have the time to talk about every single frame Lego Star Wars game, but the Skywalker Saga is obviously all of them, and it is the culmination of Lego Star Wars as a thing. And I think that when you put all that together, like, I feel good sort of putting it at the bottom of Masterpiece just because of, you know, like, it just does a lot with Legos, and Legos.
And it feels like the most brave and all-encompassing of the Disney generation of games.
Yeah, because it actually is willing to make fun of itself a little bit when most Disney things are not. Okay, so what do we have next?
The Super Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, this is the first of the Super games.
Yeah.
All these games were... Return of the Jedi got a lot less hard, but all these games were pretty hard.
They were so hard. I remember the first level of all of them. Really
well. Yes.
They all had like super cool Contra style aim diagonal type things. And
yeah. And then this Empire Strikes Back had they all had vehicle sections, actually.
Yeah, this one had a Tauntaun.
There's a Tauntaun. Was there a speeder section also? Or I'm thinking of Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're thinking of Shadows.
And then this was the first game where you got... It was crazy is that halfway through the game, you're playing as Luke and you do this extremely hard Dagobah level. And as you're doing that, you get these force powers. And
yeah,
it was kind of nuts because like, it was nuts to have this like 2D platform where the original one had been all just shooting stuff as Luke before he knew any Jedi tricks. But then in this one, there's a certain point of the game where... You like switch to lightsaber Luke, and all of a sudden you have all these force powers like super jump and super speed and lightsaber and saber throw, and it was kind of impressive for a Super Nintendo game.
It was great, yeah. First one that like lets you feel like a Jedi.
Yeah, I think this is my. I think it's probably my second favorite of the original trilogy in Super Nintendo. But
yeah,
I think we can. I mean, where do you want to put this one?
Low classic or high good Star Wars?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's better than that.
Yeah, let's put it
classic.
Let's put it right behind Force Commander.
It's like, I think I remember more of Return of the Jedi and Super New Hope.
Right. Yes, I remember those. Yeah, and we'll get to my feelings on at least one of those. But yeah, what do we have next?
Next, we have the original Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I was just thinking recently about the Rogue Squadron movie that now probably won't happen, and that made me sad.
Well, did you know that there's now going to be a movie called Starfighter?
Yeah.
With Ryan Gosling going to be the star. It's great. A good figure.
As Wedge?
Probably not. Wedge would be too old because I think it's going to be placed in the post-sequel era. Yeah. But yeah, the Patty Jenkins... Rogue Squadron movie, it doesn't look like it's happening, but hey, like I'm all about a Star Wars Top Gun if they ever actually make it someday.
We really need that, I think.
This game, like the original Rogue Squadron, was kind of crazy because it got kind of deep into the expanded universe stuff, including like you do the Battle of Mon Calamari in its original sort of expanded universe thinking, where there were these crazy like world ripper like floating platforms that were being deployed by the resurrected Palpatine. This is the first time Palpatine somehow returned. It was actually like 10 years after Return of the Jedi, and it was a clone.
And I explained it to you in something other than Fortnite.
Exactly. Yeah, those are the battle days, right?
There's comic books where they told you like should be.
But yeah, like all these games are great. It was... it got way better with the sequel to this, but this game was pretty good. I think it's sort of like a good centerpiece for just like good Star Wars.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. This game was the reason I pressured Dad into getting our first graphics card.
Oh wow! Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it is here. And I think it was on N64, but boy, it looked terrible on N64.
Yeah.
Like, really, really bad. Okay, so what do we have next?
Next up, I think this is the most recent, Star Wars Outlaws.
Yeah, it came out last year, so it is the most recent for sure. I know you haven't played this. I have played part of it. Sort of just like slowly making my way through it. It came with my graphics card.
Nice.
But
We've come full circle from
that's
smoking.
right, exactly. I bought this one using money that I made, which
Now
is like, wow.
you are
Being
the
an adult,
master.
it's the best, exactly. So
Yeah.
it's fun. The gameplay is a little bit janky, but it looks really good. It sounds really good. And so it definitely has like good design on like the Star Warsy stuff. The problem is that I think that Ubisoft games have never been, except for the Far Cry games, weirdly enough, I
Yeah.
think that the way people are animated and voice acted in those games, it always is just like a little bit off.
Yeah.
And so it like the acting aspect of it is a little bit wooden. And that does take away when you have like a story-based game. So the dialogue is like not great. And so those are definitely like bad marks on it, so to speak. But the actual sort of like open world Star Wars aspect, it's like it looks great. It sounds really good and you can have fun with it. It's just that it could have been really an all-timer if the writing was just better and if the acting and direction universally was just better. So that part makes me a little bit sad, but I think that I would put it actually probably like between Force Unleashed and Rebel Strike and good Star Wars.
Yeah,
It's
everybody that I've
good.
talked to that's played it said that it like feels like Star Wars,
Yeah,
which
yeah. It's
is
like Battlefront 2 in that sense, is that it
yeah.
just feels like it. Okay, cool. What's next?
Next we have Republic Commando.
Oh man.
Oh yeah, so
Dude.
good. Yeah, there's no question where this one's going. It was great, like the squad-based shooter where you give orders to them, fighting
Yeah.
like Trandoshans and like actually giving clones personality. The whole story, gameplay, everything was great.
It was
Didn't you free Wookiees and they were like twice the size of your character model and just like.
Wookiees in Republic Commando were literally like 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
They were crazy.
That was wild. They did so well in so many aspects. And then the transitions in there were really good. I really had a soft spot for them and I feel like they're underrepresented in Star Wars.
Yeah, you're looking out for the transitions. That's good. Somebody has to. Yeah, this game is just great. Obviously, the graphics haven't aged super well. They did do some up-resing and a re-release that came out a couple of years ago, so that is cool. But there's a reason why, like, until they finally came out in Legion and then they sold out really quickly.
Yeah.
Not just because the pieces were like really, really good, but the models were good and it was something that like everybody loved. And they smartly put Delta Squad in as like a separate unit. Shatterpoint is also about to get a release because in Shatterpoint, it's for four guys in a team is perfect. Everybody on Delta Squad. And yeah, like you want to put this in the masterpiece zone.
Yeah,
I want
I
to put it
think
like
so.
ahead of Bounty Hunter. This game does fall a little bit into the blank, but it's Star Wars. This was like kind of like Halo. It was more like Ghost Recon, but it's Star Wars.
Yeah, it was
And
like shields and
recharging
arrows.
shields from Halo.
But you also had like an Assassin's Creed style like vibro knife that would like splatter oil. So like even just like from gameplay, it was great for its time.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Okay, well, what do we have next?
Next, Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace for Windows and PlayStation.
How much do you
I
remember about this
remember,
game?
man, I remember we were like trying to get the pod race to start for like days, and you had to like go around and talk to the right people. It was, I don't even know how to like what genre of game to call it. It was just so unique and strange, and I wasn't old or smart enough for it at the time.
It's a third person action
Adventure.
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a third person action adventure, I should say, because it actually had like quest lines.
Yeah, most of it I felt like was dialogue and quests and puzzle.
Yeah. So yeah, like I forget whether there was like any kind of a leveling up aspect. I don't think so. There was
I
a
don't think so either.
like a buying and selling stuff aspect, if I remember right, though.
Yeah, I'm
It
trying to find the hyperdrive generator.
Yeah. Oh God, I have bad memories of that. This was an extremely janky game.
Yeah.
This was the game that would fall apart at the seams if you like touched it, if you like sort of like jostled it the wrong way, the entire thing would just like come crashing. And boy, it wasn't good.
It wasn't.
It
No,
just
I think
wasn't.
It's what we had around at the time.
It is what we had. I think that's exactly right. The way we were with Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. This was also like during peak movie tie-in era games of all kinds, when like the foolish studio heads at every video at like every film studio were like, oh, we need a video game of this. That sort of peaked with the original Iron Man movie and like the Matrix Revolutions.
Yeah,
that's where. I think that the Iron Man game is actually sort of like what killed that culture because of how legendary well it was. But anyway,
at least we got like Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, and the Revenge of the Sith game was actually really good too.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is like the bottom and beginning
of
that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna put it.
Thank goodness we didn't have that for the sequels.
Yeah, God, I agree. I'm gonna put it at the top of it's the new king of Riot Control Squad is the Phantom Menace game. All right, so we're gonna do one or two more, Greg. We're definitely gonna make this two-parter, but we're like slightly over halfway, so I think this would be a good point. Scene. I want to end on like a little bit of a higher note than Star Wars Episode One. This. What do we have next?
Well, let's take your pick. Let's see. Naturally, next we have. Oh, this one actually. Next, I'll let you choose. We either have Super Star Wars to come full circle to the very beginning, or Star Wars Rebellion to kind of tie it into the tabletop.
Let's finish with Rebellion.
Yeah.
Speaking of genre crossing. How about a game that is all genres?
This is literally all of them. You are Star Wars.
You are. That could have been. It could have been on the box. Star Wars Rebellion.
You like Star Wars?
You are Star Wars. So yeah, what was this? Like, there were multiple levels of the game, and at its most zoomed out, it was a sort of civilization.
Yeah.
Style like and then there were some RPG elements in terms of like there are various commanders that were out there for you to recruit, and if you were rebels there were some that you could get to defect, or if you were basically that's what it would be. As the rebels you would try to get people to defect, and as the Empire you could do assassination missions on some of these guys, and you were basically just like trying to take over the galaxy. It was a game that was made to like just like the board game, where it was balanced but not equal.
Asymmetrical, yeah.
Yeah, it was asymmetric. Boy, the words.
Yeah. Yeah, game terms.
It was asymmetric, where, like, as the rebels, you were really needing to get clever, but the key was that the location of the rebel base would be randomized at the start of each game, so the Empire had to find it, whereas the rebels could, like, start sort of building up their stuff, and so it was, like, a race to, can the rebels recruit and sabotage fast enough to like become a real army, or would the Empire be able to like find them and just like take them out relatively early? But and then on top of all of that, there was like a space strategy game when you did the actual fights, where you would move units around and order them and do all sorts of stuff. It was the origin for the Mark II assaults, Rebel, the assault frigate and Rebels.
Yeah.
That if you played Armada, that big old like bulbous ship that came from this game.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a lot of fun.
It was really fun. We should play the board game again too.
Yeah,
essentially turned the video game into a board game that will take you an entire day.
Yeah, it's definitely not like Axis and Allies level. But it's sort of in that like risk zone.
Yeah, you get to do like ruses and try to like
socially
manage your opponent of like they're not on Dantooine. I wouldn't do the same thing from the movie.
Rebellion was really solid, especially, you know, for its time. And obviously they didn't have like a lot of visual assets to really deal with.
But it was all done from like as if you were on the bridge of a capital ship and you had C-3PO and R2-D2 there being your advisors.
Right.
So like
And
it at least had some theme in the UI and everything.
yeah, and yeah, like various people were either good at like building ships, or so like if you wanted to build ships, you would find Crix Maydeen, or if you wanted to convince a planet to join the rebellion, you'd send Leia there, and then she was like OP at doing that. Whereas if you wanted to like keep a planet from converting to the rebellion, you would send Tarkin there, and then he would lay down the law. But it was great. I loved it, and I want to put it ahead of like a Star Wars and the
I want
masterpieces.
it to be there as well, just philosophically.
All right. Yeah, that's right. Well, we are gonna cut it there. We're gonna do this as a two-parter to respect folks' time with the ranking of the movies and TV shows. We did it all at once, and it ended up being 3 hours long.
Oh, man.
So it was a little bit much, but
Yeah, there's so many of these here. And I feel like we're giving them all like a fair amount of in-depth thought and consideration and
yeah,
sharing
well,
our childhood memories.
this is the name of the game, and we still have plenty of classics down there. Most of the Jedi Knight games we still haven't talked about.
Few fun surprises.
Yeah, there's a couple of fun surprises if you can see the ones in the bottom right, which I'm really looking forward to talking about those.
Oh yeah, man.
But yeah, we will be back for part two. I hope everybody had a good time, and we will see you then. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Yeah, thank you. This was great. See you, bye.
Bye.